If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers. As we recap this 23-6 victory over the New York Jets, and I am joined by my good buddy Clinton Bonner. Clinton, Geno Smith completes the revenge tour.
Here's to Geno. Cheers. A happy new year. And cheers to Geno. Great job. And the JETS suck. Listen, Long Islanders, everybody I grew up with, if you thought Mike White was your prince, your knight in shining armor, that dude is just as bad as Zach Wilson. He's cheeks too. You need a quarterback still. So go find one. You suck.
Yeah, I found myself wondering, especially toward the end of the game, well, when we were racking up multiple sacks and multiple incompletions against Mike White, that I'm trying to figure out why, like, just how bad is Zach Wilson that everybody was clamoring for Mike White. But I guess we finally made a backup quarterback look like a backup quarterback. So hooray for the Seahawks.
Yes, it is about time that maybe the curse of Colt McCoy has been lifted at this point, right? So maybe that's just it, which is helpful because I don't know how you classify Baker Mayfield, but he's kind of a backup at this point, right? He's a journeyman for sure. So we got to face them next week.
Yeah, one more backup quarterback to face. I classify Baker as a backup quarterback. So yeah, hopefully that curse is over. And yeah, Geno Smith gets over on his former team. Not exactly stellar in the numbers department. 18 of 29, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day. I have to wonder, though, Clinton, would it have been a better stat line if they were not almost intentionally trying to throw for touchdown passes on Sauce Gardner multiple times in this game?
Yeah, kind of weird, right? There, I saw lots of folks on Twitter like, oh, Sauce is getting away with everything. Maybe. I just saw a dude who's really good at football, right? So it's like hat tip. He's all, I mean, that one down the sideline on Fant, whatever, like maybe a little handsy. The thing for me, Brandon, was like, we stopped using the middle of the field. Like, it was why? That was working so well early. And then when we did have any success in the second half, we went back to the middle of the field or just ran the ball, which was also working.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like 2nd and 6. We'll throw a deep shot down the sidelines. It's 3rd and 6. We'll throw a deep shot down the sidelines. I'm like, who set the, time machine back to 2019 here? Like what's going on? Like, when we were using Parkinson and even like Laquan Treadwell over the middle, that was working quite well. So do more of the good stuff, I think.
Yeah, Treadwell, I thought, had a pretty decent game. I didn't see any too many. Well, he caught both the passes that came his way. 15 yards on the day for Laquan Treadwell. R. Ryan 911, our executive producer with the 999 super chat, says, let's go undefeated in 2023. That's right, dads. That's the joke that you can all use after this game. Defense looks solid. Running game was great. Fun game. It was a fun game.
It was. It was one of those. It should have been even a bigger blowout, probably, right? Is what it felt like to me. We should have gotten into the high 20s or 30s. A little frustrating with some of the sputtering, but end of it, who cares? Like it's a good W. We did some things quite well. And I mean, I think just starting at the top, Brandon, we got out of the gate. You know, like we got the ball and marched it right down the field. And before you knew it, it was actually 10-0 before they blinked, basically. So we had been suffering that like fate to us versus the Panthers versus the Niners, even worse, 17-0. And this game, we just totally turned the tables. It was 10-0. Then yes, they get a field goal. And then we're at 17-3. It's like, okay, good luck. That was nice to do that to what is still a pretty good defensive team. I say a good defensive team. They're good against passing too, by the way. They, you know, there's a reason Geno struggled. Numbers were what they were. Look up and down the year. The Jets have done that to basically every single quarterback, including like Josh Allen and stuff like that.
Well, and I thought they showed a lot of respect for DJ Reed, not throwing his way a ton. And when they did throw his way, you know, he had some good coverages in the game too. So Jeremy Green saying they were trying to get Woolen that defensive rookie of the year. And man, you could see the potential there that, yeah, if they end up getting, say, two of those field goal drives where they end up settling for field goals, if they get it into the end zone, they were throwing at Sauce Gardner. So yep, they were trying to make that happen. And then Woolen at the end has an opportunity for a pick, isn't able to come up with it. And yeah, you could see the path. The path was there in this game. I don't know if Woolen did enough. Unfortunately, I know someone in the chat earlier said, does this end the cornerback debate? I'm sure in the minds of voters, they've already had their minds made up, so they didn't see anything from Woolen in this game to change their mind. Unfortunately, I think the debate should still be there. I still think that interceptions greater than passes defensed, but that may not be the case.
Yeah, I think they're both really great corners. Tariq had another good game. It's like he was, yeah, you know, it was bad by any means.
Well, and they stayed away from him, and when they go his direction, it was short passes.
Yep. And he almost had that pick. He played, and he had a nice play too. Stuff on the run at one point too, with Mafe on the right edge. Yeah. Mafe did his thing again, and then Woolen came up and smacked the guy, which is nice. You don't always see Woolen be as good of a tackler yet. You know, year one being a wide receiver, basically like 22 months ago, so it's okay. And he played really well. So it probably does end the defensive rookie of the year debate, and that's because the bias is so darn thick that Woolen would have had to really have stood out. And it turns out Sauce played well too, so it's not like he was bad. It probably does end that just because the voters are what they are. And there's a real significant East Coast bias that's coming from a New Yorker. So I know it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, they weren't afraid to go his direction, as Jacob Haas says in the chat here. And they were going heavy, the Jets were, to Garrett Wilson in this game. 11 targets, but only 3 catches for their rookie receiver. Part of that was due to Mike White inaccuracy. Part of that was pressure from the defensive line. Yes, they actually got pressure on Mike White in this game. Yeah. Daryl Taylor finishing the game with 2.5 sacks. And, good day for the pass rush. And, yeah, bad day. Garrett Wilson, on the 3 catches, just 18 yards on the day.
Nice. That's how you shut a dude down. And he's been a menace, even as a rookie. He's been quite good. I'm surprised they only gave Taylor, you know, the 2.5 and not a full 3. I'm trying to think back. The one where he murder death kills Mike White at the end of the game, that's a full sack.
No, that was so, a full one.
That's a full sack. I think the first one was a full sack. So I'm guessing the middle Goldilocks one was maybe a half sack. But I thought that was all him too. Either way, Taylor has, I'm not sure. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, how would you frame it? Just besides caught a little fire, found something? Like, what do you say? What do you see that he's doing different that wasn't happening, you know, middle of the year or even like the first third of the year where he was really bad?
Well, he had the speed advantage over Dwayne Brown on the edge, and that's where he was getting most of his opportunities, was just getting around Dwayne Brown. And the other half sack went to Quentin Jefferson, who also had, he had 1.5. For the day.
Okay,
so yeah, we got to see some good interior pressure from Q Jeff in this game too.
Yep. He had that one later on. Yeah. It was good pressure throughout the game for the most part. Really was. You had your typical obligatory third and nines where it's like, when we blitzed a dude, it was really effective, really effective. There was before Brooks got hurt. Yeah. I think Brooks had a really nice blitz early in the game. And then, you know, but the nice part is though, overall, we were being disruptive with just 4. Miles Adams, once again, was in there at his feet, you know, at Mike White's feet. So I just thought overall, we definitely turned up, and it actually felt like a home field advantage, which it hasn't felt like a home field advantage in, I don't know, a couple of weeks and really in totality, a couple of years now, but they really, really turned out today. It was just fun. It was really, this is like an 8.5 out of 10 on the fun factor for me.
Well, it was fun because they get out to the early lead. They get up 10 points right out of the gate with the touchdown that was built entirely off of the run by Ken Walker, the first run of the game, and breaks out for 60 yards. And then able to add the touchdown there. I know you were hoping for two Colby Parkinson touchdown passes.
I thought I had two, Tyler.
Except Tyler Mabry gets the other one. But yes, they get up early. And I think that's what, you know, despite the fact that the Jets were running well early, I think the defense then started to shut that down. And once they started stopping the run, the Jets went away from it. And at that point, that's when you saw this pass rush be effective. So I think for this team, getting out to the early start it's what they need. It's what Geno needs. It's how he works at his best. And I was I was happy to see how this went. But now I know we're hoping for some help from the Detroit Lions next week. As Phil's saying, I'm sure the Lions game will be simultaneous with ours. Yeah, a couple people in the chat wondering if will that Lions-Packers game in Week 18 be before us? Would it be after? Based on how the NFL is operated, when one of those games could determine whether or not another team goes to the playoffs, they generally play them at the same time. That way they don't want a team to get to, like, for instance, if the Seahawks were to play earlier than the Lions and Packers, then it would mean that the Lions would essentially be out of it because right. They have no path to the playoffs because the Giants
Giants clinched today with clinched. The win.
Yeah, the Commanders lost, they would still have to lose potentially. Oh no,
I think the Commanders are now they're 7-8-1, right? So I think they're cooked.
Okay,
because they can only go 8-8-1, and one of the two teams, right. Unless there's a tie,
no, right?
Right. So right, one right. of those two teams, Lions or Packers, is going to get the ninth victory, and then of course we may as well. So it's pretty simple, which is kind of nice, right? It's Pack have to lose. We got to win. The way I think it's going to shake is that they start our game at 4:05 and they start the Packers game at 4:25. And because it's Aaron Rodgers, they make the Packers Lions game the national game. Because that's the really important one. And they start a game at 4:05. That makes the most sense. It's gonna be a fun week, man. Hey, listen, turning back the clock to like, I don't know, right after the Russell Wilson trade or like, you know, yeah, basically then, right? Right? Or May in the doldrums.
Sure.
Imagining we're playing a week 17 game where we have a chance to be above 500 and make the playoffs. That's pretty good. Well, that's pretty good.
Even if you go back to last season, it was a 7-10 record with Russ playing the entire season apart from those injury games that he sat out and we
sort of. But he should not have played those three
weeks. He came back too early.
Been better off. Yeah. Yeah, he came back 3 weeks too early. Remember, he couldn't throw a spiral for, I don't know, the rest of the year, basically, is what that boiled down to. His finger was pretty effed.
Yeah, it wasn't until the skills competition at the Pro Bowl that his finger finally looked normal. And we were saying, ooh, yeah, he could come back and be normal Russ again. But
I'm excited this year, Brandon, for, well, actually, you know what? Hopefully Geno has to skip the Pro Bowl. That would be
ideal. Yeah. Geno Smith skipping the Pro Bowl. There we go.
Forced to.
Right. Because he has football to play. Correct. Along with the Seahawks. Correct.
Yeah, man.
We all have wishful thinking.
Go ahead. You go.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, we're wishful thinking in terms of going to the playoffs. It does stink though, with how the chips fell this week, that the Vikings couldn't even get off the bus in their game against the Packers. They get blown out. And yeah, now we're forced to root next week. Well, we'll just have one eye on each game, right? As the Packers game is going on against the Lions, most likely. And the Seahawks are playing in the Rams.
Yeah, the Packers game, it was 17-3 on that side. And the Packers had not really done anything on offense to that point. And they're up 17-3. So you knew it was just, you know, curtains. That's the Vikings got a 3-0 lead for anybody who didn't watch it. They kick off and the Packers return the kickoff for a touchdown. And then whenever they get a field goal or whatever the sequence was, then they get the pick six, you know, but a couple of drives later. So it was like, oh, just egregious. And it's one of those things. You can't count on other teams in the NFL. And I know we have to next week, so we got to put on the big Lions caps and, you know, go Lions. But a little bit of shame on us for being in this situation after losing to Atlanta, losing to New Orleans, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. We had our chances, losing to the Panthers.
Every NFC South team. Yeah, we can run down the list.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But I'm excited for it. I liked today. I liked a couple of things from the running backs. I liked when Ken Walker, when we're under center, which is a big difference for Ken Walker most of the time, he gets north and south a lot better and looks a lot better. I think towards the end of the game, I think Pete was like, hey, we're going to put DJ in because DJ just goes north and south. And like we couldn't take -5 yards, -4 yards. And we had to just move the ball forward. So I do want to give, you know, some love to DJ Dallas. I thought he played a pretty damn good game.
Yeah, I don't think it was that so much as Walker had already gotten 23 carries on the day. He finishes 23 carries, 133 yards with his ankle. I don't know if you need to be giving him more than that when he's already got 100 yards. Those carries are for Dallas at that point in the game. He did a good job of going north and south too, and moving the chains in a couple situations. Picked up a 17-yard run, was his longest on the day. 7 of 43 was his stat line. We got to see Igbuebuke come in and kind of spell Dallas, who looked like maybe he came up with a little bit of an injury at the end. Hopefully he's going to be okay after that. And then adding to the running game, you had Geno Smith, 5 of 18. He had the 11-yard run for the first down on the designed quarterback run.
Love that.
That was a fun run to watch too.
And Brandon, that was what, 3rd and 4 on that particular play, I think, right? So that was the, you know, obviously direct snap to Geno, duh. But it was like a student body left where it was kind of the Josh Allen play. Allen runs that like 2 to 3 times a game. And we hadn't done that since what week? I don't know what week, but I know it was like the first quarter or first third of the season. We had not seen that since then. And I thought it was, I don't say masterfully done, but it was unearthed back at the right time. It was like, ooh, that was a good time for that. Yeah. You know, that was a really nice time to do that. So, you know, hat tip to Waldron and Geno did plenty. Geno did plenty in this game against a good defense. I also, you know, what do you think about the offensive line?
I thought it was decent, especially Stone Forsythe on the outside. I know he did give up one sack, but it was the play that I'm thinking of. The defender came around the outside. Geno had maybe a little bit of an opportunity to step up, but instead he went backwards and ended up taking a big loss on it was a 3rd and long anyway. So it didn't really matter too much, but yeah, because Geno didn't step up, he ended up going back and into the sack. And yeah. So for Forsythe, a pretty good day. We saw on the other side of the ball, we saw Cross give up a sack too, at least one.
Yep.
But I think the place where we're mainly, I mean, did we see a whole lot of Quinn and Williams?
That's, you know, where I wanted to go to next. I don't know if you watched some of the bowl games yesterday in college football, right? But there was a lot of, because we're kind of targeting Jalen Carter, there was so much talk and a flutter in Seahawks Twitter about, well, like, hey, yes, the Bulldogs won that game. You know, good victory. It's a tough loss for Ohio State, of course. But like Jalen Carter wasn't really there, you know? So like who took him out? So that's what I want to know. Like who on that Ohio State line? I was trying to watch some of that. I thought the center, I think it was like number 63 potentially on Ohio State.
Yeah.
Real stouty looking guy, kind of Puna Ford, like stocky tuna can. And I thought that guy did a nice job. I'm not sure if he's like a top level recruit or not, but I was like, there's not a lot of pressure here. You know, Stroud's got time. And I felt similarly today where I was like, we kind of Jalen Cartered him in this game. Quinnen Williams was not. He just wasn't a factor.
Yeah.
Which Chris Jones, Bosa, you name it. You name the dude who's like the top tier guy. And they've done exactly what we expected them to do against the Seahawks almost, I'd say, every single time. But this was exact opposite. So I think the interior line's got to get some love because I didn't see much Williams, which is great.
I think a big part of that, too, was Geno getting rid of it relatively quickly. DJ Dallas was the highest in terms of yards on the day, 55 yards on 3 catches. And then Noah Fant, Colby Parkinson, and you had a couple short catches by Treadwell. So I think it was more due to Geno getting rid of the ball quickly And I guess we can give credit to the interior of the offensive line too, because there weren't any, and they blocked well for the running game too. So that was another plus on the interior offensive line side. Barry, AKA Van T, with the $9.99 super chat. Happy New Year, all. Geno seems to trust Colby a lot, hoping to see that he'll grow. He's such a big dang target. Solid game with consistency. Yes, Colby Parkinson, 7 targets on the day, 5 catches, 36 yards, and the 1 touchdown.
That's a beautiful line for him. Probably his best as a professional thus far, or at least most active. So for those that either watch What If, one of our other shows, our preview show, or PNW Prop Stars. But in What If, my wish was like, I think 5 receptions. I think I had it at like 50 yards or so for Parkinson. He comes up with 5 for 37 with a touchdown. That's in that groove, good enough for me. I'll take that. And then in PNW Prop Stars, my fail Mary, my $1 bet was Parkinson for 2 touchdowns. So when he got that first one, that was a plus 3,500 bet. So,
right.
Spend a dollar to win 35. And then when Tyler Mabry caught that ball, man, I was like out of the couch. I'm like, yes. I was like, who? I was like, Oh, right. Yeah. Tyler Mabry.
You saw the skin tone and not the flowing hair.
You couldn't kind of see where the hair, cause it was like a quick turn. He's right in the end zone. And I was like, okay, I know it's not Noah Fant, deduction. I was like, okay,
I thought it was Colby too when I first got it.
But the celebration that ensued on the sidelines is really cool. Like that's special. Like when your first
NFL catch is a touchdown, what a way to start that's love super cool.
If you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly, right? So that's awesome. So good for Tyler Mabry. It's okay. I didn't hit my fail Mary, by the way. I still won. I'm champion once again.
Where's your crown? So you're not wearing your crown to the post game show?
No, not yet. No, I don't wear it to the post game show. Okay. That's correct.
That's fair.
So it's only reserved for PNW Prop Stars. So folks have to watch that. But we just to plug it real quick, we all went 2 for 3. So if you listened to us and took our bets, you made some money this week, people. So just saying, we kind of do pretty well with our Seahawks only gambling advice.
Phil in the chat says, need Denver to lose one more to the Chargers to secure either the second or third pick in the first 2 rounds of the 2023 draft. Yes, the Denver Broncos, they played it close today. They were within 3 points. They got hosed on a pass interference call late in the game that I think ultimately they came back from and still gave themselves a chance. But it was a close one. Russ looked pretty good. He had 2 rushing touchdowns, I think, on the day. And yeah, the Chiefs did what they needed to do. And I think the Chargers won today too. So
they blew out their team. The only thing I don't know is will the Chargers be landlocked next week?
In terms of their division. Playoff spot.
So yeah, are they just where they are no matter what, or do they have a chance? Cause moving up to the 5 is important.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to get likely the Jaguars. If I'm a betting man, and I am, you'll get the NFC South winners with if you're the 5 seed, right? Cause Jaguars will be the 4 or Titans. But again, I think the Jaguars will win that game. With that, I believe the incentive is legitimate that the Chargers will really want to win next week, that seeding will matter, and that getting that 5 seed will be huge. Now, what I don't know is the Ravens play in like 15 minutes.
Right.
Is that right? Are they tonight?
They play tonight,
So does somebody out there maybe listening, do they know the consequences if like the Ravens win or lose? Like, do they, I just don't have the math in front of me, but it's actually going to be really important. So, because if not, the Broncos are playing better. I mean, take the Rams game and, put it in the garbage, right? It's like, okay, that happened, but they played KC well, twice in the last couple of weeks. And, the game before the Rams game, I feel like they played pretty well too. I forget which one that was.
Yeah. So we would want for that game to matter next week for the Chargers. I think we want the Ravens to win, because then they would be 11-6 and they would be in that 5 seed. If the Chargers end up losing to Denver next week, because then they'd be in 10-7. But if the Chargers and Baltimore both finish at 11-6, then the Chargers have the tiebreaker. So yeah, that game has the potential to matter. I think mostly if the Ravens get the win.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word on it and then go Ravens for the evening, which is fine. But it was back to our game. I was just overall it felt really balanced. I know we sputtered, but we asked on a couple of our, it might've been 3-3 out, might've been what if, or like, can we play a full game where both sides of the ball, and we haven't mentioned special teams yet. Myers has a miss. That's bad because that was a 41 yarder that you got to make. However, the other pieces of special teams I thought were really, really stellar. In general, played really, really well and showed out. I think, Brandon, this felt better than the Rams game, right? The Rams comeback victory. This was a lot better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a fun game. Jesper Sacco in the chat says, what about the injury to Jordan Brooks? Looks like he's out for a while. Looking at Dr. David Chow, who's that former the former Chargers team doctor who does a lot of the injury updates and tries to do his best based on what he knows as a doctor and what he sees on the TV copy to try and diagnose what type of injury we might be looking at. He's concerned that it is one of those ACL type injuries because if you looked at the way that he planted that leg going to the sideline, you did see flexibility in the side of his knee as Brooks was going to the ground. So yeah, there's a potential that could be a pretty rough injury for Jordan Brooks.
Yeah. It didn't look like he crumpled it or twisted it in a weird way, but it definitely looked like he really just kind of like jammed it very, very like so much pressure and weight.
Right.
It was like coming back into the knee the way he kind of was landing on it when he.
Well, he had the side of his right knee. And then when he planted his left knee, it almost looked like he hyperextended the left knee as he was going to the ground. I think the bigger concern is the stress that was put on that side of his knee.
I think so too. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. And if it is, I would assume at this point season ending, but if it is, and he's got to get surgery, then hopefully he heals quite quickly.
And you have to worry with a CL too, that it could be a year long recovery. It could keep him out, a lot like Kyler Murray getting his ACL injured this late in the season. It starts looking like that could be, you're talking into next season for the recovery. Yep. Not everybody is Adrian Peterson and just, needs 6 months to recover from an ACL.
Yep. I think a good example from last year that bled into this year, different position with running back, but J.K. Dobbins, he had a, later or like mid-season, CLs that got torn out, had surgery, but it took him, it took him well over a year to get back to kind of up to speed. And if you follow fantasy football, it's like, he's still like, he's okay. He's is a reason Gus Edwards is still getting lots of love and a lot of run there because a year after he's still not what Adrian Peterson did, which was just, inhuman, right? With his bounce back.
Jacob Haas asking the question, you think Woolen and Sauce traded jerseys? LOL. I think you probably know the answer to that, Jacob, but I think the more likely trade is between Kobe Bryant and Sauce Gardner, with those two being teammates and playing their first game against each other. So probably not a jersey left over for Woolen anyway.
Probably not. How about Muse, man? What do you think of Muse? Do you think what do you think about his ability to be consistent? If Brooks has to be out just for next game, right? We will see Muse start. What do you think about his ability to be okay, to be like a not noticeable, someone who's getting exposed out there linebacker?
I think he could be fine. I'm still, it's the one position on defense that I'm, outside of the interior of the defensive line pass rush, I guess it would fall into priority number three when it comes to the draft. But there's almost no position on the defensive side to where I say that they're good apart from cornerback with Woolen in that one spot.
It's, but we've talked about Mafe playing pretty darn good. And I obviously knew Osu he was good too. He was very active as well. Good game. I just overall, it was a pretty delightful game. Now, Phil had brought up it in the what if during the week. He's like, don't go 1-1, right? Go 0-2. Yeah. We can live with that. Go 2-0. That's our path. Don't go 1-1. So it kind of, as we start to think about this Rams game. What did I didn't see any of it really from the Chargers perspective. Do we know, did you see anything? Like, what did they do to just dismantle the Rams a week after the Rams dismantled the Broncos, or no idea yet?
I didn't watch any of that game. Was that on at the same time, or was I watching the Chiefs? Okay.
Yeah. Same. It was on the same time. And then, but the national game was the Packers Vikings. Yeah. So it wasn't really on unless you had another way to go watch it. So I only had it, you know, just on like an ESPN scroll just to see what was going on with some of the fantasy players. So I don't know how they dissected him so badly, but they did.
No, I think they used up all their points in the game against the Broncos. And that's the answer right there.
That's it. Mayfield did his thing and he jockeyed for some position next year, and now he could stop, right?
Yeah. I think they will have a decision to make with Barton. I think this is a contract year for him. So that'll be a question whether or not I think they would probably try and bring him back, at least just for consistency's sake. But yeah, well,
I think he's pretty good. I think he's actually now an average linebacker and sometimes plays better than that. I'm not saying that that's amazing, but I don't think he had some rough spots in the year, but so did Brooks and so did other Seahawks. You know, just, they were ups and downs throughout the year in our defense. I think Barton's played pretty darn well lately.
Yeah. Barton has played well, obviously, like Andrew's saying in the chat, Brooks plays better when he's allowed to attack. I do like Brooks when he's running downhill and making those stops, obviously having the opportunity to lead the team in tackles this year. And that's what got him into, did it? Let's see. Was Brooks? No, he was Pro Bowl alternate along with Nwosu at linebacker, right? So,
Yeah.
Jason Turner saying Seahawks will draft a linebacker. I absolutely agree, especially if they're going to continue to play 4-3. Then they're going to need the pass rushing type linebackers as well.
Yeah, I would like them to. I would like them to play more 4-3. I think we're more stout in the 4-3.
I say 4-3? 3-4. If they decide to go that way too. But
yeah, I hope we actually revert, but we shall see. One thing was pretty evident to me, Brandon, was when Lockett went out and then it was like the Cade Johnson, Laquan Treadwell, Mabry show for a couple of drives.
Yeah.
It just kind of put the spotlight back on the idea that like, wow, like Lockett is so freaking important to this offense. It's, I mean, I know we all know it, but this to me was like the perfect evidence of it, where it was like, yeah, look, team comes out, we're on fire. Lockett's involved, but it's kind of his presence that stirs the drink, if you will. And then the moment he was out for whatever that was, a quarter and a half or so, two quarters, we really hit the doldrums pretty, pretty quickly. I was disappointed that, you know, Cade Johnson, I thought like, hey, you get your shot and he's supposed to be a dude with great hands. There was one where the broadcast was going nuts about, oh, look, Sauce made a great defensive play. I'm like, come on, be honest about it. The point of the ball hits Cade Johnson in the breastplate. And then bounces off before Sauce is, you know, getting a finger. Yeah. And it's just like, no, dude, like a non-rookie who's probably a little bit more settled in makes that catch very, very easily. Yeah. There's no yak, but it's a catch. So that one kind of irked me because they were so trying to play up Sauce Gardner. And I thought he played well, but I thought that one was a little overboard for my taste.
Well, a good game for the Seahawks. How are you going to feel next week, though? Say the Seahawks get the win. Let's say the inevitable happens and the Packers get the win. They go on to the playoffs. The Seahawks, yes, they finish the season 2-0 over the final two games, but they still miss the playoffs. Are you content with the way the season ends with two wins, the winning record, but missing the playoffs? Or are you disappointed that they just didn't go 0-2 to close the season?
No. Right. So like it's going to be, I think it's going to be more, I'll be pissed. I will be pissed if we win and the Packers pull out their game. I'll be mad because of all the opportunities we had throughout the year. Cause our schedule was not that hard.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, if we win and go 9-8, that's cool. And we had a ton of rookies this year. So, and we'll have plenty of time to kind of talk about, you know, the trajectory for next year and what are we going to do with Geno and all these other players. With that, if the 49ers end up in the 2 spot and we miss out on the 7 spot, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed because I you know, I know they're better than us, but I really want that third crack, man. I want that third chance to go kind of shock the world and go win a 29-19 game in Santa Clara. Yeah. Like how friggin' just the idea that that could happen. That gives me a lot of hope. So hope is a dangerous thing, right? So that's what I'm hoping for. And it'll be funny though, Brandon, if the Packers get to the 7 and they got to go play the number 2 49ers.
Oh yeah.
Well,
that could be a tough game for the Niners.
You know? Oh, heck yeah. You know, heck yeah. Who wants to play Rodgers? Who wants to play that?
Nobody
team,
right now.
You know? So it wouldn't be, you know, I'd get over it quickly is what it would boil down to. How about you though? Where would you land the spectrum of pissy to, you know, okay with it?
I think I'm happy about the outcome, but I'm upset because of it's the Seahawks would have done it to themselves, right? It's not necessarily because the Packers, it feels like some sort of defeat at the hand of the Packers. It feels more of a defeat at the hands of our own team for going 0-4 against NFC South teams. You know, you get any one of those games and you're talking about punching your ticket. You don't have to worry about anybody else. And I'm with Phil, the idea too, just having a winning season, having that 9-8 record going into the off season after all the expectations in the off season. I think it feels like something more to build off of. Although we can be content with an 8-9 season too, just considering what the expectations were going into this season.
And I'm with Phil. I'm with you and I'm with Phil.
And I'm with Jeremy. Screw the Packers. Go Lions.
Right. So shame on me for talking about, you know, a potential Packers 49ers first round. Screw the Packers. Go Lions. That's the exact right way to think. My bad.
That might have to be the title of the next episode of the Seahawkers podcast, right?
That's the entire week right there. And of course, we got to win. We got to do our job too.
And Jeremy, this is a good call out too. Lockett showed a lot of toughness playing to start with and then getting back in there after a leg injury. Yeah, we didn't see him come out after halftime. Then we heard that maybe he was on the sidelines and ultimately he did get back into the game. But yeah, I think it was just more him getting out there and showing that he could come back that quickly from an injury, you know, kind of maybe proving to himself that he could do it. And I know he never wants to miss a game. And he showed some toughness on a lot of those catches, too. It wasn't going straight down. He was fighting for first downs. So, a nice, solid game from Lockett, even though it doesn't show up in the stat sheet necessarily.
Yeah, I love it. Lockett was tough as nails. You know, so DK was pretty much shut out this game. And by the way, I still think DK is a heck of a receiver. He does tend to drop Geno's best ball of the week. Which pisses me off.
That was a tough window to try and catch that ball in, but it was an amazing throw and placement by Geno.
Sick. You know, like the Jets are tough to get chunk plays against. That they're very, very good at defending chunk plays. Like extremely good at that particular part of the game.
Yeah.
Hence, lots of quarterbacks don't rack up a lot of yards against them because they don't get plays over 20, 25 yards. That one was, you know, 2 weeks ago now. We had that DK kind of misstep in the end zone where he just couldn't get his feet down, where he left his feet. And then this one, the ball just hits him right in the breadbasket. But what a freaking ball from Geno. Like, it was so, so gorgeous. So maybe, Brandon, maybe just kind of like, you know, saving all our love, right? So maybe next week it's the DK versus Ramsey show, and DK likes to show out versus Ramsey when he gets the chance. So maybe saving all our love, saving all our theatrics for a week 18 W versus the hated Rams, while the Lions could go into Lambeau and upset the Packers. That would be a great start to 2023.
Well, there's a lot of different ways that the games could go too. Obviously, with the Eagles losing this week to the Saints, now the division title is in play in the final week of the season for the Dallas Cowboys. If they get the win over Washington, if the Eagles happen to lose to the Giants, then,
very possible.
Then you could see the 49ers with a win over the Cardinals get the first seed, get the bye. Then you could see Dallas get the second seed and see it going that way. So that could be pretty interesting. And then if the Seahawks get the 7th seed, then you're talking about playing Dallas in the first round. If that's how things end up going, is there a way that... Let's see, if Washington gets the win, though, then Philly is locked in on the second seed. Doesn't look like Minnesota has a path to the second seed at this point.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. They don't deserve it. They're not that good. Hey, I credit when they win tough, tight games. Like that's a thing, and the wins count. But now they've gotten absolutely smoked by the Cowboys and Packers.
Yeah,
smoked. So
if that's the case, yeah. I would rather face the Niners in that 2-7 matchup than the Eagles with Hurts coming back.
I don't
want
to play the Eagles. I want nothing to do with the Eagles. Like their defensive and offensive line. That's not a good ending for us.
A team that's really good at running the football and has a really good running quarterback. Yeah.
They're getting banged up though. Like besides Hurts, getting banged up, they lost an offensive lineman today. And I think last week, or it might've been vice versa. I think they lost one of their edges today too. I'm not sure if it was super bad, but like looked maybe potentially pretty serious. So within the last 2 weeks, they lost starters on both parts of their line. So it's so much about health heading into the playoffs. And right now the Eagles are starting to flounder a little bit. And who knows if Hurts is going to be 100%, even if he rests next week.
Right.
So we shall see. Yeah. I mean, this is why I'll be pissed off if we miss, because we have a shot to go play the 49ers, man. Like I always want that shot. Always, always, always. I know we're the underdogs. I don't care. You know, let's go beat the friggin' Rams so we can beat the Niners.
And like Jacob says, hey, maybe end up facing Dallas. Cause yeah, if they end up winning the division, then they could have that 2 spot. If San Fran gets the bye, says, I feel better about going up against Dallas. Dak has been pretty bad the last few games. I could see that being a potentially favorable matchup for Seattle. I like the idea of just going right straight up against the 49ers right away though. And yeah, third time, let's see if we can get it done. Gosh, they almost lost to the Raiders.
I know. It's the Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham-led Raiders.
He played really well, right? But it's like, you know, if stuff's getting put on tape by Jarrett Stidham, you know, like let's abuse that. So yeah. It's fun. It's fun. It's football. It's 2023. So we've had a good year, but I want us to end on a big fun note. And that'll be just getting to the playoffs, man. That'll be so, 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 so special. You know, Giants punched their ticket today. That's a team nobody thought was making, going to sniff 5 or 6 wins this year. They're in the playoffs. It'll be so, so freaking cool if we could take that same line, that same through line. So like the 6 and 7 are the Giants and the Seahawks. Just goes to show you that the NFL, how quickly things can turn with good coaching. And, a good draft is really what it boils down to for Seattle. So, man, I'm all sorts of fired up now, Brandon. I'm not going to sleep much these next couple of days. I just want to get to the game, beat the friggin' Rams, and maybe I'll concoct a big backdrop, green screen backdrop that's a lion, like, you know, devouring some cheese or something like that, right? You know what? We could ask AI.
There we go. We got the AI generator, right?
Detroit Lions devouring Green Bay Packers, and we'll see what they come up with, and we'll share that out.
Well, of course, it is fun because we're getting into the final week of the NFL regular season. The Seahawks still have a chance to make the playoffs thanks to a 23-6 victory over the Jets this week. Clinton, fun time watching this game, fun time hanging out with the flock after the game. And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks.